from 6 to 7, it's all about client generation. You have to have a strong focus on client generation. And I think one of the problems that people have is they don't learn the skills of marketing and sales. And so when you're going from, let's call 0 to 1 million, you really need to learn sales and marketing. You need to know, where does your client reside? Where can they be found? And then marketing to them where they can be found.
What if you could step out of the day-to-day and see your business from a whole new perspective? Welcome to Above the Business, where we empower you to rise above the daily grind and embrace a higher way of business ownership. Get ready to build your business by design. Welcome to another episode of the Above the Business podcast. My name is Bradley Hamner, your host. Have you ever wondered what it takes to actually scale a business to 8 figures? Well, today's guest is going to help you to understand the mindset and even some of the skills and possibly some of the tools to help you do just that. Lewis Scott is a highly respected attorney, and he has helped over 25 clients to be able to scale their business to over 8 figures. I think you're going to get a ton out of this. I love to talk about skills and tools a lot, but oftentimes we don't talk about the mindset nearly enough, and that's what you're going to get in this episode. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Lewis Scott. Ambition is the first step towards success. It's time to level up your agency. And Coach P Consulting will help you do just that by using the same strategies he used to sell over 700 life insurance policies in 2021 alone. Now, this is not your regular one and done type coaching. You'll get personalized coaching 2 days a week, every week of the month, and you'll get a live look behind the scenes of his team training and an office that's performing at the highest level. There's a reason Coach P Consulting is the fastest growing coaching company for insurance agency owners in the country. Coach P will train your team alongside his own and show you the exact steps they're taking to achieve Chairman Circle, Exotic Travel, and Multi-Line Presence Club, and be one of the few agents to be selected to have a third office. So whether your goal is to be at the top of your local market or amongst the best in the country, this training will give you the strategies and the tactics to get there. For just $250 a month, you'll get high-level coaching each week from someone who is already getting it done at that level, and his strategies work, and it's time to put them to work for you. Sign up at coachpconsulting.com and get your first full month for free when you mention the Club Capital Leadership Podcast. Lewis Scott, welcome to the Above the Business Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. Looking forward to our conversation.
I'm looking forward to it as well. All right, man. So we always start with background and origins story. I'd love to hear the journey of how people got to where they are. Take our listeners. How did you get to where you are?
Probably with a lot of hardship, right? That's a story, it seems like, of many entrepreneurs, but I had a lot of chance encounters, and I've been very fortunate to have met some really great mentors along the years. But really, it was a judge that I met back in undergrad. I meet this judge, I'm in a class, I'm sitting in the back row. He does something called the Socratic method, and he's going through the entire classroom and everybody's giving him what they want to get out of the class and what they want out of life. And here was a doctor and here was a lawyer and here was a nurse, and they wanted to do all these things. And I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. Like, that was my only goal. I'm Puerto Rican. My dad had played semi-pro in Puerto Rico, so I thought I had the genes. My brother was like an all-state player. Like, we grew up in this baseball family. That's all I could think about. But I wasn't going to be able to say that because they were going to laugh at me. And so towards the end of the class, I was like one of the last ones. He says, what do you want to get out of the class? What do you like to do for fun? I said, I like candlelit dinners and I like long walks on the beach. Everybody laughed. I sat down. And he was like, Mr. Scott, I need to know what you want to get out of the class. And I said, honestly, I just want to be a lawyer. And I never said that before. It was the first time I'd ever told anyone that I wanted to be a lawyer in this class. And I don't know how it came out of me. It was just the thing. Growing up, my dad used to say, you're going to be a comedian or a lawyer. So I always tell people I'm like a comedic lawyer because I love to have a good time. I love to tell jokes. The Office is like my favorite show. But that judge called me down at the end of class. He said, Mr. Scott, let me talk to you. And I said, oh my gosh, this guy hates me for telling jokes in his class. He's a judge. I disrespected him. And he said, do you really want to be a lawyer? And I said, yes. And he says, well, you can do it. I'd love to give you an internship just off one meeting, And he said, I'd love to give you an internship over the summer if you're interested. And he hosted me in his home over the summer. And I did this 3-month internship where I fell in love with the business of law. And that carried me for the next 20 years. I started multiple law firms, grew multiple 7- and 8-figure law firms. And now, as a consultant, I help law firms around the country grow their business to 10 million and above. And it all started with that one chance encounter.
Man, I love this maxim that I picked up from one of my coaches. And it just resonates with me based on what you just said. You get what you pitch for, and you're always pitching. The fact that you actually pitched
you want to be a lawyer ultimately set you on a path for the rest of the success that you've had. And so one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is just because you yourself have been able to scale. And what we talk about getting above the business, a lot of people that are listening to podcasts, listen to ours, they want to grow and they want to be able to scale. And so what are the things that you've been able to see whenever you've worked with a lawyer, worked with a business owner that is maybe struggling in the six figures, mid six figures range, to get to seven and then get to eight? And maybe you even have some thoughts around even those things, because obviously there's a big difference between a million and 10 million itself. But just what are your thoughts? What are the things that you begin to help people to do to start thinking about going from six to seven, seven to eight?
Yeah. So from six to seven, it's all about client generation. You have to have a strong focus on client generation. And I think one of the problems that people have is they don't learn the skills of marketing and sales. And so when you're going from, let's call zero to a million, you really need to learn sales and marketing. You need to know, where does your client reside? In my book, The King of Growth, I talk about this concept of understanding who your client is and knowing where they are. Where is your client? Where can they be found? And then marketing to them where they can be found. I remember having a law firm that I was working with, and they serviced high-end divorce clients. And for a long time, they were getting their clients from country club. And they were members of a country club, and they were getting clients, and it seemed like it was repeatable business. Well, one day they decided that the cost of membership was too much. They were going to quit the country club and they were going to go and try to do marketing a different way. And their business started tanking. And so they hired me and they started asking me, what can I do to improve my business? And I started just diving in, like, how did you get business before? And I said, you need to go join the country club. That's where your client is found. So of course they go back and join the country club and the rest is history. And I think what happens with a lot of people is that they don't know who their customer is and they don't know where that customer can be found. And so they don't know how to set up the marketing right. And I think you got to become a master at marketing and sales. So that's like six to seven figures. From seven to multi seven figures, you got to get good at finding people. And see, the business cannot develop until you find people. And so you got to get really good at selecting people. You have to get good at finding people that fit your vision, mission, and values. That's another key. Have vision, mission, and values. And you want to find people who want to be a part of that, who want to join in and want lock hands with you. And if you don't get good at selecting people, you're going to be on a perpetual treadmill. You're the cycle of just constant turnover. And it's going to become so frustrating that you'll give up and you'll likely retreat back into the six figures or stay 1 million, 2 million for the rest of your life. And that's not a place where you can live forever if you want to get out of doing the job of running a business. And so that's really seven figures. You got to get good at people and people management. You have to start learning how to delegate. You have to give people things that they can do and get rid, take things off your plate. I've always said, if you want to grow a big business, you have to become a master delegator. And so that's phase number two. But to go from multi seven figures to eight, that's a totally different ballgame. It's not like stacking sevens. I get this all the time. I see people who have been in business for 10, 15 years doing the exact same revenue for 10 to 15 years, 3 million, 3 million, 3 million, 4 million, 4 million, 4 million, 5. You know, they just do the same revenue. And it's because they haven't learned one key thing you need to scale and get to eight figures. And that's you have to develop leaders. And developing leaders is by far the most difficult thing in life to do. And we know this because every year, over 200,000 conferences worldwide are dedicated to leadership development. And because it's so hard to develop leaders. Yes, some leaders are found, but many of them are developed. And if we don't get good at developing leaders, we will be the only leader in the business. We'll have a flat organization, and flat organizations can't scale. And so phase three, or what I call the eight-figure phase, is to develop leaders who can take on major parts of the business and do them better than you can, because you can't do everything. And so that's the biggest difference between multi seven figures is eight, is that development of leaders. And as I've been blessed to work with 25 firms now that have reached eight figures in predictable revenue, I can see the transition happen every time. As soon as they find that key leadership group, it happens almost instantaneously. They'll go from six to 12 million in about a year. And it's beautiful to see when you see somebody go from $500,000 months to a $1 million month. And now their take home is 200,000, 300,000 per month. Like, that's a beautiful thing to see. And that only happens when you can find leaders.
Man, okay. Just because of our time that we have, I want to focus the rest of our conversation on two of the ones that you mentioned. One, let's call it mid six figures. Let's say 500,000. to seven figures, let's say what it takes to go to 1.5 million. So that's the first frame that I'm going to ask you about is that one. And then the second one is we'll skip, and I realize I'm skipping a big swath here, is seven to multi seven, two, okay. three, four, five, six. Okay. And then I want to go to the eight figures because I think that's fascinating because there's not many people we've had on. I mean, we've had a few, but we've not talked to very many people that have either A, themselves done it, or let alone had 25 people go to eight figures. Let me ask you this first question, just to kind of frame this. When do I start developing the mindset of eight figures?
You have to want it from the beginning, to be honest with you. I think that one of the things that I have found in working with people is that somewhere around 4 to 5 million people lose their enthusiasm for reaching eight figures. And the reason is the money starts getting really good, right? If you're turning a 20% profit margin on 5 million, you're making $1 million a year. That's good money. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, we see the social media influencers talking about making a couple hundred thousand a month or whatever. You don't need that. $83,000 a month completely changes your life. I mean, it's, you can do anything you want with $83,000 a month. Sure, can you have a private jet? No, but you can do anything you want. You can fly anywhere you want. You may not have a private jet, but you can fly first class. And I think that people lose their enthusiasm. So if you want to get to eight figures, you have to start developing that mindset early on, and you have to believe, have the belief. Now, I'm reading a book right now called Psycho Cybernetics. It was actually
I've read that book. Yeah. Oh, right. That's awesome.
It was written in 1965, 35 million copies sold. And the book talks about how you can never grow beyond your self-image. And so if you want to be an eight-figure firm, you got to have the eight-figure self-image. You got to have the eight-figure confidence. You got to have the eight-figure belief. So it's more than belief. It's belief, self-image, and the confidence that you can do it so that you have the swagger. I don't know if that's a word that a lot of people use in the business. You got to have the swagger. Like you got to walk into a room and know that you're going somewhere and that you're going to be somewhere. And I have found that even from a young age, maybe I developed this because I had a great family unit and I benefited from not having growing up in a toxic family. Like I always tell people, I don't know what it's like to be in a toxic family because my parents were great. They're still the most amazing people I've ever met. And I have a great relationship with my siblings. None of us fight and we all get along. Like, and so I probably developed that self-image young, but you got to have that self-image. And so if you don't have that, you have to start working on that. And you have to start believing that you actually are worthy of something like eight figures because it's a life-changing revenue level. And in the service-based industry specifically, a $10 million business generally gives about $2 to $3 million in personal income. And so if you want to reach that, you have to have the belief and you have to have the self-image that you are worth that kind of money. So I think it starts really early on and it has to be driven by something more than just the money. It has to be driven by really making an impact. And what I've seen across all 25 firms that I've helped do this, and even myself, is that they all are driven by something greater than the money. And that starts early on. It doesn't start when you get to 10.
Don't you think also, too, that the same could be said for someone who has, in that example we gave earlier, $500,000 business, that they have to first be able to have the self-image that, no, I actually am worthy of having $1 million+ business, a couple $1 million business. I mean, do you think even the mindset of that holds people back from then learning the skills of marketing and sales? And we'll get into that in just a second. But do you think that even starts with the mindset of the entrepreneur themselves too?
100%, 100%. I had a friend of mine, he doesn't even have a law firm. He has a video content creation company. And he came to me one day and he's like, hey, I've been in business 8 to 10 years. My business has never done more than 50,000. And I don't know how to grow it. And I know you only work with law firms. Can you help me grow my business? I said, you know, for a friend, I'll do anything, but you got to pay me. You got to pay me. So that's going to be lesson number one. I'm not going to do it for free. You have to pay me. And it's not about the money. You got to pay me. So I charged him some nominal fee, but I wanted to make sure that he had skin in the game to pay me. But when we started diving in to why his business was 50,000, he told me he grew up in a household where his family, they demonized wealthy people. They demonized rich people. They demonized people who had any kind of money. They were evil people. Corporations were evil. And then all this, he grew up in that environment. So he didn't believe that he was worth that. He didn't believe that he should have that. So we started working through that mindset and started kind of reshifting the way he believed about himself. And 18 months later, he was on track for $1 million company. And it was all about reshaping, reshifting what he believed about himself. Nothing changed. But when he changed that mindset and he changed that belief system, the next thing you know, he's doing different things. It was really cool to see that happen, actually.
As a business owner, you know the importance of being able to set goals, track your progress, and see the results. Well, that's exactly what our partners at Today App Pro have been able to build just for you. Today App is corporate approved. It allows you to track activities, build custom word tracks. It allows you to calculate all your commissions and your bonus structures in a seamless fashion, and it integrates perfectly with your company CRM. Today App is truly the best office software to manage all of the day-to-day in one place. It can even manage your employees' time, track production, have a leaderboard with metrics, and has custom reporting. Visit todayapppro.com, todayapppro.com, and schedule a demo and let them know you heard about them on the Club Capital Leadership Podcast.
Are you an agency owner looking to grow your revenue, increase your bottom line, and better manage your taxes? Club Capital is here to help. Club Capital is the largest accounting and advisory firm for insurance agents in the country, providing monthly accounting, tax strategy, and CFO services. Way more than bookkeeping and your everyday run-of-the-mill tax prep, Club Capital is focused on providing financial and tax advisory services that help you plan and forecast your agency's performance. Their financial dashboards and agency forecasting tools help you better understand your agency's historical performance, create and measure future targets, and see how your agency compares to your peers around the country. Imagine what it would be like to understand the impact to your bottom line when deciding to hire a new employee, or forecast the impact rate changes or commission rates will have on your business. With over $200 million in tracked annual revenue and $140 million in tracked annual expenses, Club Capital has the data and the team to help you make better informed decisions for your agency. They will help you turn that back office stress into the backbone of your agency's success by giving you the tools to take your agency and your leadership to the next level. Visit club.capital today to book a solution overview with one of our business consultants. Club Capital, way more than a CPA firm.
Man, as you were talking, I almost kind of like had this out of body experience. Truthfully, I was thinking about what are my own money beliefs and my own mindset around that, and how was that shaped by my parents, and what are the beliefs that I'm passing down to my kids? I mean, I told you right before I hit record, this is the first podcast I've actually recorded from a clubhouse at a golf course. I'm a big golfer. It's spring break week, and played golf yesterday with my son at my club. And I was thinking to myself as I was watching him play, and that I was like, man, I grew up at a 9-hole goat track. Like, I didn't have a country club. We didn't have the money to afford to be at a country club. And yet at that same time, I think to myself, yeah, but does my son see that this is the standard? You see the hard work that it takes to be able to be at a place like that. Does that make sense? So it's like almost like I want him to kind of see what's possible and have the expectations for him and obviously for my daughter, but at the same time, not an entitlement, the hard work that it actually takes to be able to, whatever he does, if he goes into entrepreneurship, great. If he does something else, that's totally fine too. But regardless, that he has already seen, hey, this is how I want to be able to live my life. But yet I also understand that my parents sacrificed a lot for me to be able to do those kind of things. Does that make sense? Like I was wondering about that just yesterday, actually.
Yeah. I mean, you have the money mindset that was given to you or that you acquired during your lifetime, but your kids will have that money mindset. And I think that we have a responsibility as fathers. I have four kids, two sons, two daughters, and I have a responsibility to teach them that there's a standard that they're not going to go below. That's what we call the money set point. We're not going to go below our set point. Our set point is, and that's what, now, what does it take to get to that set point is what I want to teach them. But my kids, and I don't fly private currently. It's on my bucket list. Actually, I have it on my dream board right now for the next 18 months to do that. But my kids have never not flown first class. Like, that's just what we fly. It doesn't matter where we fly. No matter where we go, they always fly first class. My two-year-old little daughter's in her own seat. It is what it is. That's the set point. Now, you have to go beyond that. It's like develop that, but also teach them what it takes to get there. And I think that that's sometimes where we miss the mark. But I spend a lot of times with my kids developing that money mindset. When my youngest son, he's 11 years old, man, he's got the confidence I've never seen anywhere. And he says, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to make so much money. And I tell him, absolutely you are. But let me tell you what you have to do. This is what you have to do to get there. But I believe you. I know you're going to do it. And I think that we have a responsibility to do that for our kids.
So I will often use, and I frame it for myself, and I've said it on the podcast a lot, mindset, skill set, tool set. So like, what are the tools that I need? Whether it's a maybe you shoot me a Google sheet. Hey, here's a template that we use, right? And here's this Google document that we have. Okay, those are great tools for me to have. And then the skills of marketing and the skills of sales. I'm curious. I mean, this conversation at this point has been pivoted over a lot on mindset, which I think is incredibly important. How much do you actually spend with your clients on actually the mindset stuff, the things that we're talking about here, versus like, okay, now here's actually the skills of running ads and billboards and social media ads and those type of skills?
Yeah. I think it was a quote from Yogi Berra that he said 80% of hitting is 90% mental or something like that. It was like, some, I don't know the exact percentages he mentioned, but I never thought when I got into consulting that the majority of my time would be spent on developing people's mindset. And it is a large part of it. I always say that we're a 1% strategy company. That means we only give you 1% of what you actually need to build your business. The rest of it is just working through decision-making. What do you do when a low performer is not living up to the expectations that you have? What is the mindset that you have to have in order to fire someone without fear that it's going to create collateral damage or without fear that your business is going to tank? I'm working with the guy right now who hasn't taken a vacation since he started his business 4 years ago. And we finally got him to book a vacation. That was a huge mindset thing. I told him, I said, your business is not going to burn to the ground. And if it does, just claim the insurance. We'll build it back up. But I think that's a mindset thing that we have to work with people on. So I didn't think so, but I would say probably 60 to 70% of the time I'm having conversations about mindset with clients.
And don't you think that most of the people that come to you initially are actually coming to you for some skills and tools that you have, the strategies that you're going to give them? But the reality is that it actually has got to start with some mindset shifts.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's funny because I always say that the number one thing that people hire us for is for marketing advice, but we never end up talking about that much marketing. I always tell them, it's like, you don't need marketing advice. You need to start believing that people are out there that want to hire you. And all the advice that I need to give you is in my book. So just go read my book. It's got all the marketing advice. Now let's talk about how we get to the belief that it's going to happen for you.
That's so good. All right. Let's go to that example I mentioned, $500,000 to say 1.5. Now to that business owner, let's be real. Attorney, insurance agency, coaching company, it doesn't matter. You go from $500,000 to 1.5. You've tripled the business. You've added $1 million. It is significant. It's not a $10 million business, but it is certainly significant. I'm sure you've got hundreds of examples of people that have been able to do that. You mentioned marketing and sales. I will say my own journey. My very first job, I was selling Yellow Page ads. Okay. And so I developed, and now also I could even go all the way back when I was young, as I really caught. I caught it from my father. I wasn't taught it. And I even caught it from my mother too, that I was exposed to sales.
Yeah.
The biggest weakness. And until I had the mindset that I actually allowed myself to say, I don't know what I'm doing regarding marketing, then I could begin to acquire the skills of marketing. Typically, for the clients that you work with, those get lumped together, but they are two distinct things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which one do you see as the biggest area that you need to improve upon? You mentioned most people come to you with marketing, so I'm going to assume marketing, but what do you typically see in that area?
In terms of improvement, I've actually said that the greatest skill that any person can know in their life is sales. The better you are at sales, the more you're going to eat. And anybody who can sell can become a millionaire, actually. It doesn't matter what you sell. It is the single greatest skill, because in sales, you have to know empathy. In sales, you have to know how to handle objections. In sales, you're going to develop the ability to overcome rejection. In sales, you're going to develop a better speech pattern, a way to communicate better. You're going to be a better communicator. So sales is the single greatest thing that you could learn. And here's the thing. If you have a company that's getting you 10 leads a month and you're a better salesperson, you can convert all 10 of them versus needing 100 leads to convert 10, which is what you typically see in the legal space, or really the service-based business space, which is a 5 to 10% conversion space. We're teaching 50% conversion. So just put that in perspective. I tell my clients, if you can't convert at 50%, you need to focus on sales. You should be able to convert 50% of the people that come qualified to you. Why? They came to you. They're reaching out to you. Why wouldn't they convert? And so sales is the greatest thing that you could learn, because it's going to help you be more efficient in your marketing spend, and it's going to help you increase your revenue. And so if I take a $500,000 business, I actually had a business, it was $389,000. They were getting about 50 leads a month. They were converting 5 or 6 of those leads without spending additional money on marketing. We just worked on sales for 3 months. For 3 months, They took that $389,000 business to $1.7 million in 18 months just by focusing on sales. No increase in marketing whatsoever, because they took their 50 leads and instead of converting 5 or 6, they were now converting 15 out of 50. And so sales is the most powerful weapon that you have, or the most powerful tool that you have in your toolbox for growing from 500,000 to 1.5 million.
What is your best marketing advice? How do you even see marketing? A lot of times when I've talked to people, and even I saw it this way, when I thought about marketing, I really was thinking about branding. Mm-hmm. And at that point in the business, I actually needed to be thinking about lead generation, and I never saw marketing as actual lead generation. What's your best piece of advice regarding marketing for any service-based business that's at that mid six figures trying to get to, say, 1.5 million?
Anybody under 3 million should really focus a lot on lead generation, because you need to create as much momentum as you can in what I call the width building of your business. So there's two types of marketing. There's width and depth. Width is what happens with advertising. Depth is what happens with relationships. And before you start generating a lot of referrals, you need people to refer to you. And the best way to get people to refer to you is people that you get through advertising means and so forth. And so I always focus on get as many leads as you possibly can, even if they're loss leaders. People are always wanting to maximize profitability on their clients that come through advertising. I'd rather have 10 brand new law firms come to me that I make no money off of if those 10 refer 10 that I make all the money off of. And so there, you got to know the difference between width and depth. And in advertising, you want as much width as you can, because the more people who have a relationship with you, the better chance you have of getting leads through referral. And so for me, if you're under 3 million in revenue, you should spend a lot of time creating momentum with lead generation.
Man, that's so good. I heard this analogy. It was in a different context, but it reminded me of that skyscraper versus a strip mall. And Alex Hormozi, I've heard him say that all other things being equal, more people know about what you do and what you sell, you'll make more money. Just simple as that.
Period. That's it. That's like the best marketing advice. And that's one of the reasons when we teach our funnel of business, we always say creating awareness is the first thing you have to do. Now, you want to get more nuanced and create awareness with the right group of people. But to start off with, if I could get 1 million people to know what I do, I have a better chance of succeeding than if just 100 people know what I do. And I think a lot of times we limit our exposure because we're scared of social media. We're scared of people saying negative things. We're scared of the back. We're scared of all these things. And none of those things put food on the table. And at the end of the day, I said this earlier in the show, I have 4 kids, so I don't have time to be scared of things.
Got that right. Liz, this has been great. You're a great communicator and obviously really good at sales yourself. If people want to reach out to you for you to be able to work with them and help them, they want to just connect with you, learn more about what you do, where would you point them to?
They can go to my website, luisscottjr.com, luisscottjr.com. They can find all my links, social media, my books, as well as how to book me for speaking engagements and how to book me for a consulting call on that site.
Awesome. Lewis, last question. What is working above the business mean to you?
To me, working above the business is being in a place where the business runs without you, where you can affect as many people as you possibly can, not only in your professional life, but also in your personal life. And so I have a lot of dreams outside of the business that I currently run. And once the business can run on its own and I can fulfill those things that I was called to do, I think that that's what working above the business means.
I love that. Working, having the business to run without you. That's absolutely the name of the game for sure. Lewis, great having you on. You've been fantastic. Hope to have you back on in the future.
Thanks.
Well, I think I mentioned this. We've not had many people on the podcast that have actually been able to scale their own business, let alone help other people to be able to scale a business to 8 figures. And so there were so many different things that we picked up in that episode. And it was really much more on the mindset side, but I think that that's so incredibly important. And I shared openly some of the things around kind of my own mindsets around money, et cetera. And what did I learn, or what did I pick up, or what did I just kind of absorb from my parents? Many of you know I've shared my dad as a small business owner. What did I learn or see or absorb? What was taught to me around my own money mindset beliefs? And that's something I've actually been thinking about the last few years, and have read a few books on that. Maybe I'll even do a Friday solo podcast on some of those things. And so possibly maybe your own upbringing, maybe both good and bad. Maybe you had some multimillionaires around your family that were able to show you what it was like. And maybe you really struggled. Maybe your family situation was tough and you were bound and determined to be able to not have that same situation. I just urge you to consider, what were your own kind of money mindset beliefs? And what do you believe that you actually have the abilities to be able to grow a business to $1 million, let alone grow a business to $10 million? He said that a lot of people get stuck in that $3 to $5 million range because at 20, 25% profitability, they are making so much money that they just lose the drive and the ambition to have to get to 10 because it's becoming enough. And so it really then starts with having that mindset from the beginning that, you know what, I think I can actually get this company to $10 million. So I thought that was one of my biggest. If you've not read Psycho Cybernetics and talking about self-image, I definitely encourage you to pick that up. I've actually thought about trying to find somebody. I think that author has passed away, to have somebody that maybe is trained in that to speak on that book. And maybe we can try to find a guest to come on, because I think that is a fantastic book to be able to pick up. I read it probably 4 or 5 years ago. And actually, I think I'm going to pick it up again coming up recently. Big shout out to our podcast sponsors, Autopilot Recruiting, Coach P Consulting, Club Capital, and TodayUp. They are some of the best in the business. If you're an insurance agency owner wanting to really grow and scale you and grow and scale your business, there's none better in the business than our podcast partners. If you want to have to get control of your money and where you are today and to be able to put a forecast in place, Club Capital can help you to be able to do that. Go to club.capital and book a no obligation demo. And as Lewis was talking about, the importance of team, but I think that even the importance of team starts whenever you're at 300,000 in revenue and trying to get to 1 million. It becomes incredibly important, of course, when you get to 1 million, to 2 million, to 3 million, of course. But if you build the team, then you can build the business. And you need two things. You need to be able to attract incredible talent, A players, to your team. And you also need to develop. And that's where Autopilot Recruiting comes in, and Coach P Consulting. They can help you to find the talent. And then once they come on board, you can work with Coach P Consulting to be able to help develop them. You need both. You got to get the A players and you got to develop them. You know, I love college football. You got to recruit 5-star talent, but you still, once they come on campus, you got to continue to develop them and train them and coach them. And business is really no different. So go to autopilotrecruiting.com. autopilotrecruiting.com, and also coachpconsulting.com, and let them know that you heard about them on the Above the Business podcast. Last and certainly not least, TodayUp Pro. If you want to be able to consolidate a lot of the back-end stuff for your compensation plans, your bonus, and the work tracks, possibly some work tracks you pick up from Coach P, none better than TodayUp Pro. They have a beautiful interface for both your team and for you. It's something that your team is actually going to love to use. I love a good spreadsheet. I admit it. Kind of geek with that. I love Google Sheets and Excel sheets, etc. The reality is, sometimes we need to upgrade the software that we're using to be able to buy back some of our time, give our team the tool that they need. It really becomes a tool in your arsenal. We talked about mindset, skill set, and tool set. Well, one of the tools that you can use is TodayUp. Go to todayapppro.com, todayapppro.com. Of course, it's corporate approved, going to work with your CRM, going to sync perfectly, and your team is going to love to use it. todayapppro.com. All right, everyone, that was a great episode. Hope it resonated with you. Love to hear your feedback. Thanks for all of you who shoot me a message after our podcast that we drop. Some of you send me a message on email. Some people send me a message on Voxer, et cetera. Thank you so much for that. Love to hear what you picked up from this episode and what are some of the maybe mindset beliefs that you have shifted, or you're beginning to kind of rethink. Where did I learn my own mindset, my own money beliefs, my own mindsets? What are the false beliefs that I can break and adopt some new ones? Till next episode, lead well.